There it is, live. I'll just do a hello. Okay, let's go. You all look wonderful. Let's have a nice chat. Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. And, oh yeah, that's what's missing. Tweaky, tweaky, tweaky.
Yeah. No, no.
Yeah.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Sure.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Holy shit! It's episode 488 of the Overseas Connection podcast, and I am Robin Tate, and I am in Ballymena. I am in Northern Ireland, and today is the 12th of August, and it is 2018, and I am your host tonight. And it's a wonderful, hostful show with lots of hosts looking fabulous. They're wonderful. They're crisp. They all have new technological things. Mark has no big silver cups on his ears. Kim is crisp in her high-definition camera. And Phil is here with a big yellow microphone cover. And
Hello.
So this is the Overseas Connection podcast. It is a gaming podcast, but it's about life. It's about us. It's about you guys and us having a wee bit of fun. Every week we go out live on a Sunday evening at 9 o'clock in the UK, 4 p.m. on the East Coast and 1 p.m. in the West Coast. It's fabulous. You can find us on twitch.tv/OC podcast or on Mixer or on YouTube. And if you go there live, there's a nice little thing that we call the chat. And you can join in and chat to the show live as we do this stuff. And somebody that did that this week was Whiskey Whiffer. And he is a new Twitch follower. Hello. Yes. So, as I said, I've got Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
I've got Kim. Hello, Kim.
Hi.
And I've got Phil. Hello, Phil.
Hello.
Yeah. So, we've got lots and lots to get through tonight. It's amazing. The summer must be starting to wind up a bit. We've got news to talk about Red Dead Redemption 2, about Fallout 76, about Sony making so much money. We've got Commodore 64 stuff. We've got stuff and rumors about Obsidian, and we've got emails and loads of stuff to get through. So let's sort of crack on and see what's been going on with the crew. Mark, you've been very busy this week.
Yeah, it's been horrendous again. It's been like non-stop for ages now, but this week's been extra busy. I've actually had to work over this week, which is very rare for me. A couple of hours through the week on a night working over, and for the first time in about 6 years, I worked Saturday. So busy, it's unbelievable.
See, you were complaining earlier on this week that you couldn't get back to base and you were driving an ambulance because of the traffic. And I told you to put on the blues and twos. And you went, No, I can't do that. It's against the rules. No. Oh, for goodness sake, you're in an ambulance. I could not stop myself. I would ask for forgiveness later. The button came on and I couldn't switch it off. It hit my knee. You know,
I've got a true story about that. It was going back a few years. There was a mechanic at one of our Leeds workshops, went to collect some parts and they used an ambulance for transport. And because he wanted to rush air and back, he used the blue lights. What he didn't know is he clipped a parked car and someone saw him. Oh. Well, someone saw the ambulance hit the car. So they reported this. And when they looked back on the tracking, because every ambulance has got tracking on it, they knew exactly where it had been, what it was doing, what speed it was doing, and he lost his job. So, instantly sacked.
So, oh my goodness.
Yeah, so it's not worth it.
It's like that DHL guy a few weeks ago that won the internet. He was driving along as Australia and he was purposely driving in the puddles to splash pedestrians.
Oh, yeah, saw that. Yeah.
And the car in front had a rear facing camera and
looked back and reported him, and he lost his job for that. Yeah. I mean, what? That's fun. That's helping dirty people on the street get clean.
I have to travel a lot from where I'm based in Keighley to our main workshop at Bradford, because that's where Blackbeard the aircon machine and the MOT testing site is and everything. So I do quite a bit of travelling between the two. But on the main road I go to, there's a burst water main. It burst that bad, the whole road just exploded. Someone captured it on video, amazingly. There was bits of concrete flying everywhere, and the whole road's closed now, so I had to go a different route. And on this route, there was an Asian wedding, and they decided to block the whole first lane off, coming up to a major busy junction, near the hospital as well, and just blocked it off with Ferraris, Bentleys, and filming everything. And it's just, I've nothing against the Asian community, but if it had been a British wedding or an English wedding or a Jewish wedding or whatever, I'd have been as angry to them as I was to, if you know what I mean. But it's not right to block a whole lane off. And then I saw something on Facebook yesterday that going into the main centre of Bradford, they did it again. They blocked a whole artery road off going into Bradford because we wanted to film all these Ferraris and Bentleys and everything.
Have you ever seen an Irish gypsy wedding?
Yeah. No.
Because we wouldn't have Ferraris. They have old horses that they race and have impromptu horse races in the middle of the street. So count yourself lucky that at least you could have got noodles at the same time. Look, I'm sorry you're so busy. Well, yeah, but I absolutely know the feeling at the moment, Mark. I really do. I am going off on holidays in a couple of days' time. And even if I wasn't going off on holidays, I would be slammed with work. And in fact, I was screaming at the phone at 4:30 on Friday afternoon that people were still just constantly phoning me for, can you come and see us? We want to do this new thing. And oh, my goodness me. It's just, it has went through the roof. I'm not complaining. I love it. I'm making money. It's fantastic. But I pretty much have about 2 weeks' worth of work and orders to get placed and processed and done before I go away on Wednesday evening in 2 days. So it's about 2 weeks' worth of stuff. And I'm flying over the country. And I was in here this morning, and I was in here yesterday morning about 5 o'clock getting a couple of hours work done. And it was lovely having my brother and my nieces, nephews and nieces here, but I really could have done with a couple of full days of wiping stuff out. And it's I'm not complaining, it's great, but wow, I just can't. It'll be, when do we go, Wednesday very early hours, Thursday morning, it'll probably be about Saturday before I start to completely unwind. Kim, what have you been up to? What have you been doing?
Not a whole lot of luck. We need rain, like, badly. It's fairly dry here, so yeah. I took a picture this morning on Snapchat of, like, a 3-inch crack in my driveway. So if I suddenly disappear and don't turn up, it's probably because the ground has swallowed me whole. So
Sorry, it's pretty bad. Why is it? What, the crack? It's dry. It's cracked because it's so dry.
Yeah, or? We haven't got enough rain, and it's all, the ground's starting to crack. It's bad enough. We're putting new fence in, and yesterday Dad was out back with the tractor and the post hole digger, and what did he, I think he said it was about 4 foot down. The ground is nothing but powder.
Seen that. I was out digging potatoes yesterday, as you do.
Potato!
Oh, fuck. Jesus Christ. Anyway, I was being, I was out farming in my garden yesterday, digging some potatoes for today's lunch. Do you know what? I've been kicked out of better places than this. The potatoes this year are tiny because, well, I haven't been watering the beds, but they're just, when I dig down a foot down where the potatoes are, it is still, even though there's been a lot of rain here, it's still like powder in there, and the little potatoes are like tiny little testicles. And testicle-sized potatoes we're having, where I usually have big, fiddle-sized potatoes. So, yeah, it is very, very dry. It'll take a long time for it to recover. Mm-hmm. There's a dam here called Spelga Dam. It's up in the mountain, Mourne Mountains. The mountains of Mourne roll down to the sea. And up there, the years in the 50s, they blocked off and cleared out a little village and a town. and it's been so dry that the roads and the town has reappeared again. Mm-hmm. And people have been going up, walking down the old road, and the little humpback bridge still there, and some buildings and stuff. And but then there was massive rain last week, and the ground was so dry, it's just sort of like almost like flash floods, and mm-hmm. the dam filled up so quickly, and I'm so dry, part of the dam broke. So it is very, very dry everywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping I'm hoping that it's going to be early 30s in Italy next week, and I hope it just doesn't get any higher than that.
I think you're going to be expecting a lot more. One of my colleagues has gone to Rhodes a few days ago, and it was 42 degrees there yesterday.
Too much. I'm gonna get a boat. I have a nice little boat organized for a day. I want to do some paddle boarding. I've got some mountain bikes sorted out. I want to get up into the hills, up and over around. And I want it to be too hot for the mountain biking anyway. And Phil.
Yes. So I've been spending most of my time inside this week. It's been raining. We've had quite a bit of rain here, actually. Yeah. So
the grass has gone green again.
Yeah. Mm. So mow the lawn. That was a bit dusty. I've been doing some website building and a bit of video editing and sorting out a few future projects. So, it's a bit of creative.
I watched a video of yours. You visited somewhere. It was very well put together.
It was the Wedgwood experience. So the Wedgwood Pottery over in Chentham near Stoke-on-Trent. So it was a really good day, actually. If anyone gets the chance to go, it's really good. You get to design your own plate or cup. Plate. That was the same with the colouring in. And then you get to actually make something on the potter's wheel, which was really good fun, very therapeutic. And there was
Let me see if I can find a photograph. I'll be back in 1 second.
and he's disappeared. And and then we had afternoon tea, and they did a really nice vegan wheat-free tea for us as well, afternoon tea. So it was very nice, some nice vegan wheat-free cakes. So I'm wondering what this photo is going to be.
Not
this company, but a previous
Pixelator at the ready
company I work for. Yeah, so I don't know if you can see me there. I'm very, 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 very skinny there. I'm about 22, 23, and I'm in Stoke-on-Trent in Dudson. They have a Dudson big factories there that made all our plates, and I was in painting a plate that day as well. It's really, really interesting seeing the stone firing and vitrified plates and get into the kilns and stuff, and it is a very, very good trip. Good. But you've done it. Where is that video? Can you find that video on your YouTube channel, or is it just on Facebook?
It's not on the YouTube channel yet, but it will be. I've set up a new YouTube channel, and it's going to have some videos added to it very shortly.
And you had stop frame, but you were moving with it?
Yes, I used hyperlapse.
Was that hyperlapse, was it? Because it didn't look really, really fast, hyperlapse stuff, because I had some work stuff I'd done this week, and it was really, really quick.
I slowed it down in post-production.
Premiere.
Slowed it down, because the actual clip, when you speed something up, so it only takes like 2 frames a second, you know, you can be filming for a good couple of minutes, and you end up with a 3-second clip. So I found that learning about it and getting used to it, that 3 to 5 second clip I actually wanted to be a lot slower, so I just slowed it down in the editing. I did all of that editing on my iPad.
Oh wow.
There's an app called LumaFusion.
What's the video called? Is it on YouTube now? Don't we find it
for the stream? No, it's not on YouTube. It's on Facebook.
Alright, okay.
It's an app called LumaFusion, and it's superb. Really, really good editing suite. Going to be using it a lot, because I was looking at getting a new laptop to do video editing and work whilst I was working away. Found this app now. I'll do everything on the iPad. So bought myself a Bluetooth keyboard as well. I've got now got a nice mini MacBook Pro. Does all my video editing, does all sound recording, does everything I need sorted.
Excellent. Because I have that dilemma now, because I'm getting all our kit ready, because my Joshua will have all his big camera kit with him, and he bought a new nifty 50 lens there that just arrived this week, so he's got all his kit. I've got the drone charged up. I had to do a big calibration updates for it there yesterday to get that ready. The GoPro all packed, all the batteries charged. And I don't think I'm going to bring the gimbal. I don't think diddly. I don't. If I bring it, I don't know when I'm going to use it. I'm not sure. But maybe.
But yeah, we've got definitely look at LumaFusion. Look at you can find some examples and some LUMA Fusion. There's lots of videos for it on YouTube.
Okay.
LumaFusion. And I think it was $9.99 or maybe $19.99, but for a good editing suite. I've got no complaints. I mean, it's not as complex as Final Cut Pro.
Premiere, it does for on the road.
Certainly, it's more complex than iMovie.
Yeah, the dilemma for me is because last year in Jenny on holidays, I bring the Surface with me and edit the videos and stuff out there at the time, and I'm not sure whether I'm just gonna just do loads and loads of footage and then just bring it home and do it all at home. The problem with that is. You fall into Mike Chin syndrome.
And although it was pretty fast. Yeah, it was pretty fast this week getting the video up. But no, it's well worth it, and I'm really enjoying it. So
sorry to rattle on about videos. So I was in two stores opened up in the last 10 days, and one opened on Monday, and I went in on Tuesday with the gimbal, and. I fell on for about half an hour. That's enough. And I came home that night to edit and get it all put together. And I made an absolute bollocks, Phil. Real bollocks. About 50% of my footage was off my shoes. So you're the button on the gimbal.
Switch record on when you thought it would record off.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all right if you're a shoe salesman, but you're not, are you?
No, I had enough footage to recover it, and the videos actually turned out pretty well, actually, and everybody's very happy with it. But yeah, I was like, oh, dickhead. Yeah, you'll not do that again, Arnie.
He's a dickhead.
Absolute dickhead. Absolute dickhead. So, I have been on the road quite a bit, and I've been rattling through these Arisen books. I can't recommend them enough. Greg DeLacy, yeah, that's him. Mm-hmm. He's been working through these as well, and they are absolutely friggin' brilliant. It's like an exciting movie in audio form through Audible. It has you on the edge of your seat. It's fantastic. I'm on book six night. Please go and search out Arisen. It is exclusive to Audible, so go and have a look, and you'll thoroughly enjoy the Arisen series. Okay, let's get going. And I'm going to get used to do some talking. Who wants to talk about what the games with benefits are? Phil.
Go on, then. Right, okay, so games with benefits.
Volunteers, this step is... one, step four.
This is basically where we choose a game from the monthly offerings from the various, whether it's Xbox Gold, PS4, or sometimes from Twitch, and we talk about them. So we pick one, and we'll make a huge promise, which we all commit to every single time, to commit at least a couple of hours to the game, or both, if you want, within the month, and we give our feedback of what we thought of the game. The idea being that listeners can play the games as well and compare and contrast what we think of them. So we start on the 16th of each month to allow the second Xbox game to be available. So all we're asking is you commit at least a couple of hours to the game of your choice during the month, and otherwise we'll send Robin round to read one of the books he's listening to. So for this month, the choices are on Xbox One, For Honor, PS4, Mafia 3, and PC... Oh, it's Twitch, it's SteamWorld Dig. So those are the games that we've decided that we're going to focus on. So before we talk about those, the actual games that are free, inverted commas, this month are for games with gold for August. It's Forza Horizon 2, Standard 10th Anniversary Edition, and For Honor Standard Edition. On the 360, it's Dead Space 3 and Disney Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two. On PlayStation Plus, it's Mafia 3, which is one of our chosen games, and Dead by Daylight. And PS3, Bound by Flame, and Serious Sam 3 BFE. And then on the Vita, Draw Slasher and Space Hulk. And then your Twitch Prime games are Jotun, Death Squared, Antihero, Wizardry 6, 7, and 8, and SteamWorld Dig.
Now, who needs to buy games? Really? Really and truly. Have any of you itinerant people played any of these wonderful games that we've chosen? Which is Mafia 3, or For Honor, or SteamWorld Dig?
Currently playing Mafia 3, you know. Not on the PS4, though. I bought it, on the Xbox a while ago in a sale when I was with Greg. So I'm getting back into that now. But I can talk about it when we're doing games played.
Okay.
I've played SteamWorld Dig before. Yeah.
For Honor isn't out until the 16th. So that's later this week, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
4 days time. So
good.
Yeah, speaking of free games, I'm just looking at the Xbox Game Pass lineup at the moment, and it's friggin' awesome.
It's crazy. I mean,
it really is. Doom and Rage has just gone on there now.
Yeah.
So yeah, Doom. Yeah, if you're new to the Xbox family, all you need is Game Pass, and you're set for life, aren't you? There's that many games on there, you're never going to be bored.
But you do have to be careful. I downloaded Mad Max a couple of months ago, never got around to playing it, sat down to play it today. It's not on Game Pass anymore.
None of the Microsoft games will slip off.
Yeah.
But you do have, I don't know how long it is for them, but some games have been there since the beginning. But I mean, I'm just like, yeah, with Doom being in there now, and the full Hitman series as well, and then you've got, again, your Halos, but all the Halos, you know, Sea of Thieves, I mean, all of that stuff is there. It's just, I mean, when Rise went in there, and, you know, Rise had its faults, and the only faults Rise really had was the repetition of the characters. It's a great game.
I love that game.
Yeah, it's what I
I hate the combat in that game.
It is just you, Mark.
Yeah, everyone says that. I couldn't stand the combat. I don't know.
And there's something for everybody, you know, adults and kids. There's a ton of stuff there, which is fabulous. Now, that bollocks Gary was mentioned earlier on today. How many games were crossover with PC from Game Pass? And I'm not 100% sure. Do you know Xbox Play Anywhere?
Game Pass on Xbox did PC
for the.
Well, there you go. State of Decay.
You mean the Play Anywhere stuff? Yeah, it might do.
Yeah. If you get it on the Xbox first, you can then play anywhere.
Well, I'm looking at it now. So, Gary, State of Decay, State of Decay 2, Ruiner, Rush, Disneyland Adventures, which Phil loves, Halo Wars Definitive Edition, Zoo Tycoon, Renegade GP, ReCore, Halo Wars 2, Sea of Thieves, Gears of War 4, and Super Lucky's Tale are Play Anywhere titles. So there's some, not loads, and I suppose any exclusive Microsoft games are going to be Play Anywhere. So, yeah, maybe not the biggest thing for a PC person just yet, but yeah, I think it's a system seller. I think it's a fantastic thing. Anyway, okay. So those are your freebies, sort of freebies. Yes, you're subscribed to the service, but they're pretty much free. So, what stuff have we been playing?
Oh, hang on, shit, that's me. I'm too busy chatting with Sarah. Here we go.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Mark Wright, as you mentioned Mafia 3.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Mafia 3.
All right, let's get a video up. Mafia 3.
So, the things I know about Mafia 3. I bought a very expensive copy of it at the Midlife Gamer in the auction. I think it scored me, I don't know, was it 100 or £200? I can't remember, but it was expensive. But it's a collector's edition, and it had vinyl in it, and beautiful books, and all coasters, and God knows what all. But I haven't played it yet. Right. What I've also heard is it's great, but some of it can be a bit tedious. Repetition of types of things.
Yeah, so right. So start from the beginning. So the setup to it is you play Link and Clay. You've just come out of the army. You've come back from Vietnam. And you're coming back to the family business, a guy called Sam, I believe. But when you double cross by the head of the sort of like mafia bosses, and he kills Sam and another guy you're close to and tries to kill you, shoots you in the head, but the bullet grazes. You wake up after a while, and then you're basically taking revenge on all these. So like mob bosses, so it's very different to Mafia 2. Mafia 2 was more linear. This is more open world than what the other one was. Now I found the story quite interesting. The cutscenes, the like the one that was playing on the stream, the like people when they're older. Looking back on what happened and sort of like doing an account of it, like an interview. Which is quite interesting. The in-game cutscenes, when you're actually in the moment, very, really high quality, really well done. The gameplay itself, there's some good points and some bad points. It looks good, it sounds good, there's some great music in it. The driving's not brilliant. Where's Kim gone?
I don't know.
I've just looked at the screen and I've noticed the cameras are gone. Kim's camera is Robin's chest and arm. anyway, right, so yeah.
Well.
Yeah, so the driving's not brilliant, but it's not too bad.
I see it in the stream, it's good.
The combat's not too bad, but it's frustrating because you take damage quite easily. You start off with 2 health bars. Robin, no, I'm turning that camera off. You start off with 2 health bars. You do increase that as you go through. So once that health bar depletes, it won't regenerate. You have to take a health pack, and you only start off with 2 health packs, what you can carry. So it's in the early days of the game, it's quite frustrating. You earn money for doing jobs, and if you don't bank it and you get killed, you lose half of it straight away, which is quite frustrating because I just finished a mission earlier today and I had about 32 grand on me, and I went to go get a drink and I was just left the game. I didn't pause it because I didn't think I'd need to. And what I didn't know is a hitman group was going around looking for me. They found me and then killed me before I got back, so I lost 16 grand, which was a bit annoying.
I don't know. It's gonna be one of those things. I've got to play. I am gonna play it.
So the missions.
I love the first one. I hear it has its faults.
Yeah. But... So the missions, they are getting quite samey now. They are getting a bit repetitive. They're either go disrupt this place where they're either making drugs or they've got people trafficking, or there's money laundering. It's one of them things, but it's always the same sort of like scenario overall. Or it's just go interrogate someone or go kill someone. So it's very similar all over and over again. I'm not really doing any side missions because I just want to plow through it now. I've got to the point where I want it over and done. I'm about 3/4 of the way through.
Okay.
When you're in the pause menu, there's a list of people you need to take out. And I've got There's 4 at the bottom, so like the lower lieutenants. I've got 1 of them left. There's 3. Is it 2 or 3 sort of like higher up ones, and then the main boss at the top. So I've only got 3 more to do before I get to the main guy. So I'm hoping to have it done this week. But yeah, the side missions I'm not even touching.
So it looks great, but it's too long.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's not bad. It's worth playing, especially if you've got it on like Game Pass or anything, or on PS Plus. It's definitely worth a play.
It's kind of odd, you know, because everybody wanted those extra side missions and more like GTA. And actually, when it came, maybe they didn't want them at all.
No.
Because, I mean, Mafia 2 for me is one of the best games. I can still remember it and still loved it. And yeah, oh well, maybe they'll get it.
Mafia 2 was so good. So I had a lot of high expectations for this, and when I kept hearing people say, oh, it gets repetitive, it gets tedious, I'm sort of getting to that point now.
I love Mafia 2.
Yeah.
Phil, anything else? What did you play?
I played quite a few things. I'm trying to remember. The first thing I played, actually, was I played some more, sorry, gone for Fleet Bank. Played some more Surviving Mars, which was fantastic. Okay. So really enjoying that. Put quite a lot of hours into that. Tried Unravel 2. So did the first level of Unravel 2. That's a lot better, actually, than the first one. Really enjoyed the first Unravel. But this has added a few new dimensions to it. So it can be co-op. So it can be two player. Also, you're not linked to the piece of yarn anymore, the line of wool. So you don't have that restriction. So you're not running out of wool.
You're actually working.
Yeah. So you're actually working. You're actually tied instead to another character. So you play the characters before, ends up on an island for whatever reason, and you meet another yarny. And you have to help each other as you go through the various things. Same mechanics, slightly different, same lovely graphics and lovely feel to it. Really enjoyed that. Also, Tropico 5. So I picked up Tropico 5 in the sale recently. I've been waiting for it to go on sale for a long time. It's just one of those. I've got a real itch at the moment for sort of city building games and simulation games where you're running cities or towns. So the Tropico, if you're not aware, is you're running a dictatorship in some South American island somewhere. You have to build up cities, build up your economy, take bribes, work with other countries. It's really good fun.
Cool.
Definitely enjoying it.
Because it's well respected sort of thing.
Yeah.
All right.
And the last game I've been playing is Book of Unwritten Tales 2, which is on Game Pass. So it's another game on Game Pass. So I think this one's quite an old game. It's a point-and-click adventure. So I'm not usually a big fan of point-and-clicks. It's very pretty. It's set in a sort of fantasy world. With elves and wizards and all that malarkey.
Shit.
Kim, I think you'd love this game. It might be a bit fluffy for you, but the actual game itself is quite interesting. So it's typical point and click. Mm-hmm. So you have, you know, examine different things, speak to different people, pick up inventory items and swap them with different things to make things work. So good fun.
Good. You've been at it again. That's good that people are starting to play games again. That's the rain for you. Kim, I know I'll get back to you, Mark. I'll spin it back around. Kim, what the heck's Legend of K?
It's terrible.
Oh, good.
Yes. It's awful. It's about a little tiger fella, and he's got the deal is his village gets overtaken by, I think it's gorillas and snake people. And eventually he has to go through all this training to become a ninja or something. And I think eventually he was to kick the snake and gorillas out. But I never got that far, so I couldn't tell you. It's awful. I bought it because, you know, it was a cat, and I thought, well, it could be good. Tony might like it, you know, yada yada. And it was super cheap because PlayStation was having a sale here, last month sometime. So I bought it, Snake Pass, and Ethan, the Vanishing of, was Ethan Carter, Ethan whatever that Carter. One is called. Yeah, I got them all for like $20. So I thought, okay, no problem. Okay. So I tried it, It's terrible. The voice of the tiger is annoying. He's like some freaking teenager thing, and it's just awful. And the camera, it's not automatic. You have to control the camera, and when you're trying to swing on vines and stuff,
it looks like a PlayStation 2 game, Kim.
It looks like a PlayStation 2 game. It looks very old.
This is like the anniversary edition or something, and save your money.
Okay. Maybe it is an old game that's just been revamped then. Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's been redone, and like I said, I thought maybe I'd like it, but no. I'm glad I didn't spend more money on it than I did. So,
okay.
Yeah, no, I passed. Yeah,
no, let's not waste any more time on it. Well, speaking of passing, you played Snake Pass.
I did. What was it? Frasier, I think, or some time ago, talked about it and said he really enjoyed it. Like I said, I think they had it on sale for like $3 or $4, something like that. So I thought I'd give it a go. I did, a handful of levels, and it's for what it is. It's a nice game. I'm not sure it's going to be something I will, go back to a whole lot unless I'm just really bored with whatever I've got already. But that being said, if that's the type of game you're into, then go for it. But
it's a big, colorful, sneaky thing.
Yeah, I'm what's sure Anthony flying, would like it.
Yeah, what's that flying witchy bug thing?
I think it's a bird. I think it's like
it looks like a little witch.
It's a hummingbird.
Yeah. And I mean, it's nice. It took me a little bit to get the controls down to control the snake. But once you get that down, it's fine. Like I said, it's good for a game if you're bored and just looking for something to kill 15 minutes or whatever. Then, go for it. Do a couple of levels and quit and go play something else.
Yeah, it looks like Viva Pinata style, sort of graphic.
Very much.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And I'll come back to you. Mark, you finished God of War.
Yeah, finished God of War last week. I think you did a victory achieved because I wasn't on last week. Spoil it all. It's bloody amazing. And I'm not spoiling anything. The last scene was really emotional. I didn't cry. I'm not called Stu Fowler. But yeah, really emotional last scene. It's such a good story. There's still a lot to do, but it'll have to wait for me because I'm posting it back to Kyle tomorrow. So once again, a massive thanks to Kyle for lending me this because it's one of those games where you'll never forget it and I definitely want to buy this and keep it forever. So as soon as this becomes available at a price I can afford, I'll be getting this again, and I'll go back and probably try do a server and platinum it.
So, better than a Horizon Zero Dawn then for you?
Yeah, yeah. And that was my game of the year last year. So, yeah, I enjoyed it more than Horizon, and I love Horizon, which I got the DLC for and I've not played yet. So,
and was it when the little boy died, did you not cry, no?
No, because then he turned into Godzilla, and then Godzilla flew away and went onto Mars and then started surviving Mars.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to do a wee bit.
Yeah, it's really
good. One of my favorite little games, I am also sort of in holiday prep. I have bought Guns, Gore, and Cannoli 2.
Yeah, wow. I've still got that last boss to beat on that first game.
Oh, it's really hard. Absolutely love this game. I don't know why, it's not that complicated a game, but I love the humor in it and the voices and the weapons, and it looks like cartoony, but there's a lot of gore in it. Yeah, exactly. I love the way he gets his health from eating cannoli. There's just a variety of the weapons and everything, and it's very tongue-in-cheek. Now, I bought it on the Switch, so I can bring it with me and maybe play a bit. Me and gaming at holidays doesn't usually happen, but yeah, maybe on the plane I'll do a wee bit of it. It doesn't, I played for about an hour this morning. It doesn't seem that different. It just seems like more Guns, Gore, and Cannoli, but set a wee bit further on in time. But if it's anything like the last one left me wanting more. So, yeah, I can't wait to get back into it. Now, it seems that you can have multiplayer, so you can have four or five people. Now, I'm not 100% sure whether that's couch, but it might be online as well. I'm not 100% sure. But even with couch, playing the main game, not just the little sub-games, That'll add another extra little wrinkle to it. And it'll be interesting to see if we can, even on the plane, you know, Joshua or Charlie and I play with the little controllers from the Switch and play together into the co-op. Oh, yeah. So it's not dear. It's not an expensive game anyway. And is the first one in Game Pass? Some free somewhere.
I don't know. I got it.
It looks cool.
It was about £2 a while
ago. It is. Some of the monsters and the bosses, the big rats.
The first game's really good. It's just
it reminds me a lot of Death Spank.
If you can forward maybe 30 seconds or so in that's where I am on the stream, where you pick, you've seen a chainsaw there, and that's your first weapon that you get, and he runs from the chainsaw and chopping people up. It's brill, and flamethrowers and bazooka launchers and everything, and it's humorous. So it's a little platformy left to right shooter. And lovely little art style to it all. It's as tough as nails, but yeah, I thoroughly recommend Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. Now, should I talk about Skyrim? Very briefly.
Skyrim.
I've got something for that. Cheers, Duke.
So I never finished the first Skyrim. I don't know how far in it was, but I had a lot of hours into it, and I just fell off. And a while back, it was a tenner or 15 quid, and I picked it up, and I started it up this morning and played through the first bit where you're on the cart and the heads are getting chopped off and you get away the first piece. And I played that first piece and the first achievement popped, and people are already tweeting me going, oh, great stuff, you're playing it. I'm playing on the Xbox, and it still looks as jank, but yeah, and I suppose maybe this is a Mike Chinn thing as well, where I had to make that choice: do I finish The Witcher 3 or do I finish Skyrim or go to Skyrim again? And Mike, thanks, you've made that decision for me, so I'm going to spend some time in the Skyrims now. I would have maybe loved to have bought it for the Switch as well, but it's 50 friggin' quid.
Yeah,
it's too much for that. So yeah. And it was good. And it seems just a lot more streamlined or something than The Witcher. There's just so many menus and things there. So anyway, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it that way. But okay, Overcooked 2. Kim, you were talking about this with and Sarah. Have you been playing this?
Yes, okay. Me and RCGC has been playing it. We played it the other day.
And you're still friends?
Yes, we're still friends, even though I was throwing chicken over the raft and potatoes and kind of whistling, like, hopefully she didn't notice that. Throw me another potato, Sarah, because, you know, that one got away. Yes, potatoes. I was making, chicken and french fries, I think is what we were making or something. But, yes, Overcooked 2. I didn't ever play the first one. Now I heard horror stories about how bad it was, so I kind of was hesitating. But no, it's, even with just the two of us, it got hard on some certain levels, but... It was fun. It really was to sit there and try to figure out where the cutting boards are and where the skillets are. And like I said, the one level, they put us on two different rafts and you had to throw the food across at each other. And it was fun. It should be interesting if we can get Mark and Nicole to play too. You know, just saying.
I will as soon as I can afford it. But yeah, it does look interesting.
It is. It was a toss-up between this and Rainbow Six Siege, and I thought, well, this is probably more my speed right now, so let's do this. Oh, and it was cheaper. Okay. So
this is faster than Rainbow Six Siege.
Yeah. You can't really... Yeah, there, I see the similarities there, Kim.
Yeah.
No, the kids and I, we played the first one to death. We loved it. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, fuck's sake, get the 30! Right. What are you doing over there? Come on!
Thankfully, Sarah didn't yell at me. So she could have, though, but she didn't.
In the first game, when you sprint, you used to nudge people out of the way. Is that still the case in this one?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, we were still kind of running into each other and bouncing off each other. And, you know, so it was good. Once we got our rhythm together, you know, it was good.
There you go. Yeah, Mark, you can turn out and share play with them, Sarah. Yeah, she's just saying the chat.
Yeah, she keeps asking me. Luckily, she's not like Nicole, otherwise she'd have been demanding, but...
Oh, yeah, I'm waiting for that.
Get on mine now!
I can already...
Just as well she's not in the chat right now, because she would be correcting Sarah. Sarah, Mark and I have capital letters at the beginning of our names. You do not have any full stops at the end of your sentences, so thank goodness she's not here, because she'd be correcting all that right now. The flipping grammar police would be out. Takes us to task. Okay, well, yeah, look, that's a fun game. And a party game, and a party game too.
Indeed.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's good. Mark, what else have you been at? The crew, you finished the crew.
Yeah, finished the crew. It was a slog getting through all the story missions. I skipped all the story missions, all the cutscenes and everything, because I wasn't interested in the story, and just basically ploughed through it to get it out of the way. So it's done. I deleted it off a hard drive because I needed space. I just wanted to get it done. I don't like not finishing games if I can help it. So, yeah, I just got it out of the way, basically.
Well, it's a decently driving game.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it, yeah. the second game doesn't really interest me because it's more just like just races, whereas this had quite a lot of variety. So,
But is there not a lot of variety in the second one too? With boats.
I'm not really.
I'm
too busy focused on doing the bloody webcams now because Kim's camera's come back on and it's put us all in the wrong places.
So. Oh yeah, Kim has
got
hair.
I've got lovely luscious hair.
Look at that!
Wow, looks so good. You've got that 8 stones gone. All right, but the last thing that I played was Back to Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. Holy crap, that is a game and a half. Now, I must be really, really... Well, sorry, you know this. I'm really, really crap at games. I was at... Hello, Fizzer. I was at this big fire boss, which isn't that far in. You know, it's an end-level boss, and it was just absolutely fantastic, beautiful to look at. But I have this on easy mode, and I could not get this guy. I must have tried 10 or 15 times before I got the bugger. And it is hack and slash sort of thing, and you have to defend a bit and stuff, and maybe I was just going at it too much or trying to be too careful, I'm not sure. But I've got past him, my way on through it now. It is friggin' awesome. A fantastic, fantastic experience of a game. And I'll crack on. I don't think I'll get it finished before I go away, but yeah, wow, what a game. Really, that'll be up there in my list for top games this year, definitely. Okay, yeah, well, it's great.
Looking forward to playing that. Have you been wearing headphones when you play it?
Yes.
It makes a big difference.
It creeps the hell out of you. I think people are standing behind me or somebody's came into the room because there's whispers. You're a shit. You're bad at this. You're going to die.
It's too much like real life.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's where it struck a chord with a lot of people. And anybody that hears voices like that, if this is what this is about, if this is what they're saying, that people are like this, that they hear this stuff going on in their mind all the time, oh, wow, I'm glad I'm not that person. You know, a bit of tinnitus and I'm frightened enough. So to have somebody telling me that I'm going to fail and going to die and you're crap and you can do it and you can't do it, you should give up. Oh, wow. So, yeah, it's awesome. Awesome game, but we know this. So, okay, let's move on a bit, I think. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's quiz time. It's going to be quiz time. Oh, and I have a quiz. I have the quiz.
Ooh, Who said that?
So, who said it best?
Ooh, who said that? Okay, so you remember the deal. Quiz points are worth 1 point each for each correct answer. And answers can come from anything gaming related. Books, movies, porn. So I read the quote and then you tell me who said it best. And you've got the thing on our show notes. You've got Phil. We've got Aunt Tim. Mark.
Yeah.
Do shark. Come on, let's go.
It's all right. It had to be done.
I've done once. Okay. So here we go. Question or quote number one. Who said it best? Let's go.
Mario.
Was it Mario? Was it Mario and Luigi? Or was it Luigi?
Oh, that it really is a question. I thought you were taking the piss. So...
Really? Yep. Yeah, me too.
Oh, fucking hell.
Mm.
Here we go.
Who said it best? Let's go.
Oh, let's go. Not here we go.
Let's go. Was it Mario? Mario and Luigi? Or was it Luigi? A, B, or C?
I don't play Nintendo.
And your answers now, please. 3, 2, 1, go. Si, senor.
I didn't think it'd be the obvious one.
So, let's go. Was it said by Mario? Was it said by Mario and Luigi? Or was it said by a Luigi, just by himself? Well, the correct answer is not C, Luigi, although he did say it. It's not A, Mario, because he said it too. It's a Mario and Luigi.
I award said it, no points.
Bastards.
That's an awful question, Nicole. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, yeah, Nicole.
Have you noticed as the weeks have gone on, these have got more evil?
Yes, she is an evil, evil, vicious woman. Anyway, okay, next question. And you can join in the chat if you want to. What was the last time the wind said hostiles to you? What was the last time the wind said hostiles to you? I'll say it in a gruff voice. What was the last time the wind said hostiles to you? Was it A? This is a Gears of War question. Marcus? Was it B? Baird? Or was it C? Dom?
Damn it, all of you.
What was the last time the wind said hostiles to you? Marcus, Baird,
said hostile or sent?
I don't know. It says said here, so I'm just reading.
I don't even understand what that means.
Don't shoot the messengers.
All right.
Well, what was the last time the wind said hostiles to you? So let's break this down.
Said hostiles to you.
So maybe this is the sound that the wind made, and it said there's hostiles coming on the air. And I can tell in the, by the wind, there are enemy bad boys coming across the hill towards me. That's maybe what it means, Mark. So shall we go from the beginning? Yeah. What was the last time the wind said hostiles to you? Was it Marcus, Baird, or Dom?
Hmm. God damn you. Stop it.
Your answers now, please. 3, 2, 1, go.
Ooh.
We got Phil on C. That's Dom. We've got Auntie Tim on A, which is Marcus. And we've got Marky on B, which is Bird. And as per usual, the answer is C. And that means it's Phil. Phil.
Hey, he's got a point.
Phil.
Phil is no longer a competition virgin. Yay! A point to Phil.
Is beating Gary.
That's not hard. Okay. So the final question, I'll give you a hint. This is a question. This is a Halo question. So get your Halo heads on.
Oh, dear God.
Okay. So the next one is, get up so I can kill you again. Yeah?
Okay.
Was it A, Master Chef? Was it B?
Sorry.
Better than Baby Shark.
Mark, it's like podcasting with you.
Is it?
Hang on. No.
Like
don't.
Podcasting with Duke now.
Christ, I didn't want to hear Craig Lacy's voice. Christ. Okay. Was it A, Master Chef? Was it B, Sergeant Johnson? Yeah, you're Johnson. Sergeant Johnson. Or was it C, Armory Master at Cairo Station?
What was the quote?
Get up so I can kill you again. Was it MasterChef? Was it Sergeant Johnson? You're Johnson. Or was it the Armory Master at Cairo Station? That's, you know. Yeah.
I hate you all.
And your answer is now, please. And Phil says B, which is Sergeant Johnson. Auntie Tim says B, which is Sergeant Johnson. I'm Marky. Says B, which is Sergeant Johnson. You are all addicted to Johnsons. And the answer is... Sergeant Johnson!
Yeah, I thought it'd be something to say. He's an angry type.
Win a shiny. So let's fill in the... Oh, who's somebody filling in the scoreboard live here? Okay, very, very good. So the scoreboard as it stands is... in last place, Mr. Toothache himself is Gary. And in second place is Phil with 2 points. Very good. In third place, it's Greg DeLacy. Third last is Greg DeLacy. I'm in the next place up. I'm a tit. And then we have Kim, who is rapidly coming up Mark's behind. And Mark is the wanking champ, and he is on 8 points. Well done, Mark. You're in the lead at the moment. Very, very good.
For now, just wait.
So, yes, that's very good. Thank you very much, Nicole, for preparing the quiz and sending it in to us. That was great. It was good. Okay, so I think we'll carry on with the show now and get on with some news.
Here is the fucking news.
Stop. Is that not the news? Sorry.
You're fired. Okay. Oh my god! Red Dead Redemption 2 gameplay trailer! Red Dead Redemption 2 gameplay trailer was released this week. And it looks pretty good. Okay, so a bit of background first. After 2 years of teases, a few delays, we've finally seen how the game is going to look and how it's going to play. It comes out on October the 26th, and the gameplay trailer is, it's in the vein of videos from Rockstar on the lead up to Grand Theft Auto, so it's in that sort of style, and the first Red Dead Redemption. So the footage that came out is sort of a high-level overview showing off the world and its inhabitants and towns. Forests look bigger and more expansive than ever before. When the mountain ranges are gorgeous, deep, dank swamps and plenty of stuff in between it all. So it looks absolutely lovely. Gunplay and melee combat is taking a heavy focus on the video that we've seen, and they both look vastly improved over the last game, even though the last game still, after all this time, still looks pretty good. The environments look positively gorgeous. They're more stylized than photorealistic, so we're not going to fall into that uncanny valley sort of thing. And there's even a quick glimpse of Blackwater, the main town from John Marston's 2011 game, The Tale. So things from the last game, like the morality system, bonding with your horse and hunting, well, they've had a huge overhaul, and there's also plenty of new stuff like social bonding with your gang and other non-player characters. And Rockstar have promised us that there'll be more of the videos over the next few months, with episodes about missions, side activities like cards and fishing, enemy gangs, how robberies will work. And one that's dedicated, of course, to the new and improved Deadeye system. This like slow motion targeting, which worked so well in the last game. I was very, very excited and impressed with this. And I like the style that they've taken. And I love the thing, especially that it's stylized rather than going for photorealism. It looks brilliant. It looks fab.
Yeah, it does.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I was actually thinking on this, I was going to maybe wait a couple of months after it comes out, after seeing this gameplay trailer. It's pretty much straight away, I think.
There's a clip we've just seen on there. There's your gang and six horses, and I'm sure it is a cutscene type thing, but they're running down the side of a hill, and it just looks like, wow, you know, this is the high chaparral thing, you know, this is fantastic. This is, and what I loved as well, the possibilities for posses within the main story looks fantastic of your gang. So there's, what is there, 4 or 6 members of your gang. Can you imagine all 6 of us, or a group of 6 of any of all our friends all together in a posse like this? And if there wasn't a friend there, I'm sure the computer will take over. Mm-hmm. And they'll tag along, and there'll be muggins in the back. But, you know, it looks great. It has big boots to follow or to fill, but I think they'll do it.
The random encounters have changed as well, haven't they? There's quite a few different ways to treat the random encounters now. You can battle with them, you can fight with them, you can just tell them to go do one and completely ignore them, or you can help them. If you look on the right hand side, there's loads of options. Like, what was
your suggested talking sort of thing? You can be ignorant or cheeky and stuff like that.
It looks like it's got quite a lot of depth to it.
I mean, there's all those little random encounters. There'll be quick things again. There's one we're just seeing on the screen at the moment there, where there's somebody is robbing somebody at the side of the road, and you can decide to. Goodness, there's a guy hanging on the side of the cliff. And you decide to either kick him off or save him. And in the clip here, they save him. And I don't know. I wanted to push that weasel off. Yeah. I don't know, but the small random encounters, I don't know. Yeah, that'll probably end up, if you can't be bothered and you're rushing past, you'll not get involved. But it'll be quick. But yeah, look, it looks cool.
Yeah.
And it looks familiar as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, can't wait. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if anything I'll be buying this year, that'll be it.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Multiple copies, actually, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So How many copies? 26.
But it's not that far away, really.
No.
August is almost through. I mean, realistically, in 2 weeks' time, August's done. And then we've got September, and then end of October. Wow.
Have they confirmed it's for PC yet, or is it just the consoles at the moment?
Well, at the end of the trailer, it just says PlayStation, whatever that is, and Xbox. So, yeah.
This is actually gameplay on the PlayStation, isn't it?
Yeah.
So no idea.
Yeah, you see some of the commands come up with the prompts.
Okay.
It's square and triangle, so it looks fantastic.
Can't wait. That'll be good. That'll be a good one. Don't want to build it up too much. I think we have done, but yeah, they're going the right way, and it looks familiar enough that they're not stepping. It's not going to turn into some sci-fi thing. So yeah, that looks cool. Okay, next thing, Fallout 76. There was a Bethesda QuakeCon over the last few days, and they were talking about the way that Fallout is now all opened up. Where it's sort of open to the world and you can come in, and how they're going to handle trolls. So people that come in, and as you're just getting set up, they shoot the hell out of you. So when they mentioned originally that it was a online game, you could hear alarm bells ringing everywhere with the fans, and how they were going to deal with inevitable trolls who were going to come in and ruin other people's fun. So now we know. It's making them a part of the game. So the trolls are literally going to be tied into the game. And the presentation of QuakeCon, game lead Tom Hard revealed that people who are unwillingly killing victims will get bounties on their head, with money coming out of their total cap balance and reflecting their character level. They'll also be impossible to miss. You'll see a red star on the map where the baddies are. Now, this will help you avoid those troublemakers, but you'll also have a strong incentive to go and take them down and hunt them down. Fallout 76 will include a revenge mechanic that doubles the usual payout if you take that person down who killed you, and you won't lose your gear or your core weapons like your armor, so you don't have to worry about that someone will swipe your hard-earned guns and fancy lasers. So, it's nice that they're doing this. You'll also be able to block and ignore particular players. So, it's not quite a new thing. I mean, there was like this mental state mode system thing in Grand Theft Auto that you could get rid of misbehaving players.
Yeah, you could turn off sort of like any sort of like interaction, but you could turn off fighting. So you could still move around in the world, but they couldn't shoot you and you couldn't shoot them. As soon as you wanted to shoot someone, it'd prompt you to turn the sort of like engagement thing back on.
Yeah, I think it's good. I'm not quite sure how it will actually work. You know, will people want to turn into like in Red Dead become wanted, and that'll turn into a little mini game itself.
Like if it's anything like The Division, where in the Dark Zone, people go around killing people, they'd get wanted, but because they were that good, they just kept getting the wanted level up and up and up, and they were getting more sort of like reward for getting a higher level of wantedness. So I hope it doesn't go that way.
It probably will.
Yeah.
It will. It will. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's a bit worrying.
So what can you do? What can you do? But your Fallout 76 looks good, and I know Rich Webster is very, very excited about it also. That's going to be kind of cool too. And then when is that due out? Do you know? When is? That's next year, isn't it?
No.
It is next
Fallout
year.
Fallout 76? No, it's later this year.
Yeah.
Oh,
isn't it October?
October.
Well?
Yeah, October, November-ish.
Oh, holy crap.
It arrives worldwide November 14th.
Holy flip.
Yeah, November that's 14th, on the official Bethesda YouTube channel.
Holy moly.
Oh, my. Okay. Speaking about PlayStations, Sony just can't stop making money from PlayStation. So they do have a new CEO, a guy, Kenjiro Yoshida. And he's just been at the helm of Sony for the last few months. But Kaz Harari has left him a very, very successful company to run. And Yoshida has his own designs and ideas with a 3-year plan to focus on. But they had some earnings statements came out there over the last week. And yeah, the figures are just mind-boggling. Sony recorded 17.9 billion revenue for the 3 months, ending at June. Now, take out all the costs and bits and pieces. I'm not sure if this is before tax or not, but there was 1.8 billion in profit for 3 months.
Wow.
And, of course, there's no guessing whatsoever. The PlayStation side of the company is what's making the bulk of that money. It's so odd. I mean, they were talking a month or two ago about declining hardware sales and, you know, the natural life cycle of the console and stuff like that there. But from April to June this year, they sold 3.2 million PS4s. That's only 100,000 less than they did this time last year. I mean, holy crap. What a monster. 40 million games were purchased, and their subscriber level is sitting steady. So those people that are setting up their year subscriptions are 33.9 million. So get all your free PS Plus games, guys, because there's 33.9 million free copies available to you of all of those things. Just unbelievable. Now, going through... If you read into this document in more detail as well, I mean, they say that pretty much everything else has lost money. I mean, their phones side of the business has lost money hand over fist for months and months. It's made them a little, but 100 million or 70 million over the last year. But that's the PlayStation side of things, the PlayStation arm, which is their bread and butter. Just if that's not a bad complaint, is it? You know, I wouldn't mind a 1% of that, please. Thank you. So yeah, Sony from looking shaky, and they were just before and around the time of the PlayStation 4 launch. Sony as a company, where their shares had gone to hell. The TV thing was dying. The phones thing wasn't doing that well. Lots of stuff wasn't doing well. Even their movie side of things was okay, but not great. So PlayStation has been their godsend. So rock on. Brilliant. A wee bit of quick news. I'm an old Quake player. Originally, that was my favorite multiplayer game of all time, way back. And Quake Champions, which came out a while, which was in beta format, it is now free to play and will always be free to play. So it's never going to get to final release copy with a price tag on it. So if you like Quake and you want to play Quake Champions, it's free forever. I'm probably too old for it now. I'm not fast, probably not fast enough for a Twitch shooter like that. Something I'm excited about, Mark. Mm-hmm. I like my old consoles, and one of my favorite consoles of all time was a Commodore 64. I loved my Commodore 64. Okay. My Commodore 64 had a sick SID chip in it. Now, the SID chip was what made the Commodore 64 sound so good. One of the things about the Commodore 64 was the music in it. And my Commodore 64 sounded like that video from No Man's Sky with Jurassic Park that went wrong. There was one channel. Right. Yeah. There was one channel that went wrong all the time. Commodore 64 was great. Anyway, on October the 9th in the US, don't know about UK dates yet, but the C64 Mini is coming out. It has 64 games installed on it. And you can relive your 80s with that, if you remember. It's a wee baby thing. It has what looks like a Kempston Pro joystick, which was a bit of a knob and two buttons. It looks like this one has a few extra buttons on it. But if you can relive your youth with games like California Games and Winter Games and Boulder Dash and Speedball 2. If you want to, you can type 10, print, inverted commas, Robin, inverted commas, and then you can type 20, go to 10, 10. And then run. And if you add a semicolon there, it'll do wonderful things. So if you plug in a USB keyboard into it, away you go. So yeah, another little mini thing to gather dust on our shelves.
It's a shame a keyboard isn't real. It's just there for fancy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny, if you go to try and buy a C64 on eBay or anything now, they're still, it's not cheap. It's £100 now. It's still to buy a decent one. So if you fancy a wee bit of C64 stuff and to have that little thing on your shelf to go, yeah, I have one of these, kid. That's it. So yeah, I would like one of those. So no real mention of pricing as yet, but I'm sure it'll be the guts of £100 or thereabouts. And you'll be able to buy them on Amazon and Best Buy and GameStop and all sorts of the places like that there.
Whatever happened to that Atari? Did that Atari come out?
No, it's not. No. And seemingly that Atari thing that they showed was just a shell. There was no machine in it.
All right.
It's funny. It's like they're almost, they built the shell first and showed people the shell, and there's no innards to it yet. Right. There's no design for the innards. That sounds like a bit of a rip.
Yeah.
And do you know what? The Atari, and I have my original Woody up here behind me on display. And it's nostalgia, but it was shit.
Yeah, the games were very, very basic.
Shit. Yeah. The controller was shit, and they broke so easily. It was shit. It really was. I mean, Pitfall was probably not just as shit, but Pac-Man and all those things like that, but they were friggin' crap. I mean, it was ZX Spectrum levels of crap, but we loved them. It's what we had, and we got on with them. This is a rumor. Now, maybe this rumor has moved on a little bit. So at E3 this year, Phil Spencer got up on stage in another glorious T-shirt, and he announced that they were buying studios left, right, and centre. And they said that they were going to buy 5 studios. Now, at E3, they said that they had bought Playground Games, that's 1, Compulsion Games, that's 2, Undead Labs is 3, Ninja Theory is 4. And then the Initiative is a brand new studio that Microsoft is building from scratch. So they didn't buy that one. They're starting that one. So there's this rumour going about that there's a letter of intent for the acquisition for another company, and that is Obsidian. Now, Obsidian, if you didn't know, are the people that are behind Pillars of Eternity. They took over the South Park Stick of Truth, Dungeon Siege, Fallout New Vegas, Alpha Protocol, blah, blah, blah. Good, Neverwinter Nights, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. But again, Pillars of Eternity is probably what they're most famous for. So if that happens, that's another big kind of coup for them. Now, there was talk that they did work with them before on projects like KOTOR 2. And they said that, you know, they would never work with Xbox again. And when Stormland for the Xbox One was cancelled, there's a rumor that it nearly put Obsidian out of business. So, yeah, I don't know. Again, it's a rumor, but like the last one, which was about Ninja Theory and Playground Great Games, we'd heard that, you know, they put first of all, there was a board member, it was on the board of directors. So, you know, smoke and fire. So I suppose over the next week or two, we'll find out, and that'll be another nice studio for Microsoft to destroy. Let's hope not. Let's hope they can get the most out of these. So, yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of what we have news-wise. So it's things are starting to happen again. Okay. I have a glass of wine. We have an email. Mark, would you like to go through this email? Because it was from the wonderful, the most beautiful, the most fantastic Jason Johnson.
Yeah.
Trivia Master.
Yeah.
Trivia Master.
12, yeah.
Retire.
Yeah, we finally got an email. We've not had an email for a while, so it's great to get one at long last. And he's put, hey, OC crew, I hope the podcast world is treating you well. I want to shoot you an email to ask a question about a topic that I'm interested in hearing your answers on. Over the last several months, or even over the past year or so, I've noticed that a lot of my gaming habits have changed. I don't play games any less than I used to do, but my focus has gotten even more into online competitive games than what I used to play. I've always enjoyed online competition, but my tastes have changed to where, at least right now, I mostly play either fighting games, Tekken 7, Dragon Ball, FighterZ, Street Fighter 5, etc., or shooters, which is Overwatch mainly. My point is, my tastes have changed. Where I used to play games primarily for the story, I now play for the competition, and that's a part of the fun it finds most fun. So that being said, how have you noticed your gaming taste change over the years? Note, it can be subtle changes too. Doesn't necessarily have to be an extreme or of a change, as my example. Thanks for consistently putting out such a great show. I'll see you, Starside, Jason Johnson.
Good evening.
Thanks, Jason. Thank you very much. I'm not starting this one. Well, you start this one.
I've noticed that I've gone the other way. I used to do quite a bit of competitive online stuff a few years ago, but as I'm getting older, I've noticed my reactions getting a lot worse. My eyesight's got a lot worse, so I tend to just do. I prefer the more like the story stuff now than the competitive. So I'm more of a story single player type person at the moment. Apart from PUBG, that's the only one I've sort of like stuck to for keeping competitive.
Yeah, and you're crap at that.
yeah, down to the eyesight in the old age. Yeah,
yeah. For me, it's less. You know, I think my gaming has changed a lot in the fact that I'm gaming a lot less than I used to. I just don't have the time or the energy, and sometimes I just there are that many games now compared to before. I looked today; I've got 360 games on the Xbox. I sat there for 10 minutes.
Trying to work out what to play.
What to play.
Oh, that is such a dilemma. It's real, though, isn't it? You sit there looking at the dashboard thinking, oh, well, I've started that. Do I need to finish that? Do I start another game? Oh, I really want to play that. And then before you know it, half an hour's gone, you think, fuck it, and turn it off.
Yeah. And I don't have time anymore to go into the really deep games. So Elite, you know, Elite Dangerous, I would have been all over 20 years ago. I just don't have the time. You know, I need games that I can jump in and out of.
So that's why you're playing Tropico 5 and Surviving Mars, because they're small games.
Yeah. Well, there are games I can jump in and out
of. Yeah, true, yeah.
Kim?
Well, I think mine's more kind of like Mark. It used to be a lot of multiplayer. Like, I can remember staying up playing Gears 3 and even Ren Dead, the multiplayer part of that, and Battlefield and all them. The multiplayer, and I notice, unlike Time 2, I don't play now as much as I used to, but I also don't play a lot of the multiplayer as much either. I play a lot more of the single player you know, the Dragon Ages and the Banner Sagas and that sort of thing more now than really the multiplayer. Of course, with, you know, Red Dead 2 coming out, that will probably change. But, yeah, I don't know why, and I can't explain it. It's just one of those things. Time, you know, I have more time I can put towards the single player because you can play a little bit of it, set it down, walk away. Where the multiplayer, you got to round people up to see if they want to play, and then it takes a while, and, you know, and it's summertime, so everybody's doing other things, and I think that's part of it too. So,
I think the multiplayer games, competitive ones especially, you have to play them regular to keep up to speed with the rest of the players. If you don't play it regular, you just get owned every time you play.
Yep. So. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I started my console stuff, my modern day console stuff with Call of Duty and stuff we got there, and was beast or pretty beast, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it, as Phil had said, it's for me, it's time. You know, over the last couple of years, my job career has went bananas, and I have 6 kids. Mm-hmm. A very, very busy life. And I would love to, Elite was one of my favorite childhood games, and it's there, but it's getting stuck into it. Even things like No Man's Sky is just massively a time sink, and I seem to dip in and out, and I'm getting more I'm getting as much fun again as me starting Skyrim again. But I'm getting as much fun out of smaller titles, like your Unravels, like your Guns, Gore, and Cannoli, and Inside and stuff like that there, as I am with some of the big titles. And I still love the big titles, but I think it's time. Mm. I mean, I'm jealous of you, Jason, because you have so much fun doing multiplayer online stuff. I think one of the things that we have been bad at on the podcast and the community over the last few years is not making the effort, proper effort, to have a Sunday night game night or a Wednesday night game night or whatever it is. I mean, religiously every Wednesday night for a couple of years I played Forza with the Track Guys, and they're still at it, they're still doing that sort of stuff, and I enjoy, you know, Wednesday night with game night, and that stopped. And then Sunday night we used to get together for an hour, even if it was only an hour or two, to play, God, it was Gears or Halo or something, you know, but we all got together and it was always great, great fun, great crack. So, yeah, but no, I haven't went your way, Jason, and fair play to you for doing that, but Jesus Christ, Dragon Ball FighterZ. Okay. Look, good question, and yes, it has changed. Mm-hmm. But for me it's mostly time.
Time. And we mentioned in smaller games earlier. I won't now do massive games back to back. When I finish Mafia 3, I won't jump into another big game. I'll do a couple of small games first, and then I'll jump into a big game again. Because I just feel I have to pace myself and recover from a big game.
But Mark, if you remember, like if we go back 5 years, right? And right now, we would be chasing gamer score and trophies friggin' mad.
Well, that's another thing that's changed, I used to try to get challenges, as many achievements out of a game as I possibly could. Back in the 360 days, I think I had 50-plus games where I'd 100%ed on achievements, which is like equivalent to a platinum on a PS4. I don't chase that anymore. If an achievement's easy to get, I'll get it, but... Yeah.
But it wasn't even just the gamer score challenge. We did that whole game.
Well, 24/7, 365 days a year.
You finished the game, and it was something nice. Yeah, I got 1,000 in that. I got 1,000 in that. Anyway, I don't know what you think. I know that Sarah, she's interested in playing more co-op games. She likes a bit of To Me, To You. God rest in soul. R.I.P. My time of day that I game is different than it used to be, and I can't stay up nearly as late as I used to. I totally agree,
Same
Sarah.
Here.
I'm trying to go to bed earlier because I now get up earlier. I get up at sort of 5-ish in the morning and try and
same here.
And do an hour, maybe an hour's work, and then I try to get 30 minutes before 7 o'clock just for me, which is no work, no nothing, no phone. I try not to look at my phone until about 7 in the morning, have a cup of coffee and just chill out and work out what I'm going to do for me for the day. So
I've been on the roads an hour by then.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Anything more than 15 minutes in Northern Ireland's a day trip. So
I'm still in bed, but I don't get up well half 9, 10 o'clock.
That's good. Okay. So new releases, Kim, let's get stuck in. What's coming out over the next week?
Alrighty, our new releases for August 11th through August 16th are Death's Gambit for the PS4 and PC on the 14th, Phantom Doctrine for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC on the 14th, The Walking Dead, the final season, Episode 1 for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC also on the 14th, World of Warcraft, Battle of Azeroth for the PC on the 14th, and Cosmic Star Heroine for the Switch also on the 14th. Those are new releases.
Yeah, there's a lot of noise about the World of Warcraft release.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people waiting for that.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of streamers are picking that, allowed early access on the Monday night, apparently, I've heard. So,
yeah. And there's not the buzz. I mean, I haven't played the third season of The Walking Dead, and I love those.
Yeah, I haven't either.
And I am encouraged to play it now to try and do this because it's the end. I like things ending, and things ending is good. But again, it's episode one. So maybe just wait until it's all done and go at it sometime. Because I'm sure it'll be part of some big pack. But again, I suppose World of Warcraft, if you're into that or we're into that, that's the time sink. Okay, Victory Achieved. Phil, talk about Victory Achieved.
That's it. My screen's just gone funny.
Okay, so, I'll start. Victory Achieved. Finish your games. We're not good examples of that tonight, but the idea is to get into your games. Mark's been very good. So you play your games to the total. You've paid the money for it. You've got it for free, and you paid it for your year. Play it. Play it until you get to the end of the game and to the titles roll. Take a photograph of yourself, and you tweet that off to @OC_podcast with a hashtag victory achieved, and you enter into our ongoing competition to win money. Real money. $20, 15 quid for PSN, XBL, Steam, Nintendo, whatever you want. And that's drawn every 3 months. So the next one is drawn on the 30th of September. And we've had lots of winners. Lots of winners. That's been going on for many, many years now. And this week, again, summertime. We haven't had that many completed, but it'll soon warm up again when the weather gets bad. Caliburn M, good to have you back completing games again, sir. Abzu, he wondered what the hell that was all about. He enjoyed it, but wondered what the hell it was about. Yeah, and I suggested it was about French fishing quotas. I don't really quite agree with that. He also was not impressed with Simpsons Arcade, but he finished it as well. And Lewis Normando Denok TQ, he finished the prickly game. He finished Assault Android Cactus. So well done, guys. Keep on finishing those games and keep on entering for your chance to win some money.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
All right, that's about a show. If you wanted to join the chat, and Kim, you can look up the chatters, you can join us as we broadcast weekly on twitch.tv/OC podcast, on mixer.com/OC podcast, also on YouTube at 9 o'clock in the UK, 1 o'clock on the West Coast of America, 4 p.m. on the East Coast of America. Please join in, and the chat's good fun in there. Please leave us a review. Didn't look, check the reviews, but yeah, please leave us a review. It's lovely to have it. And when you leave a review on iTunes, what it does, it goes, oh yeah, iTunes remembers the OC podcast, and it puts us there, and people can find us a little bit easier. So please do that. And there's clubs, blah. Clubs, and there's Discord, and it's the future, blah blah blah, blah, blah. and if you want to send us an email, Nicole will tell you all about it.
You like us, we like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Oh boy.
We've Gary joining us last week.
He
did set up a competition. He's got a PUBG Player Unknown's Battlegrounds code for the Xbox One code. And he said last week, if you tweet @OC_podcast and @TheRealDefore in the same tweet, You can put anything in that tweet, any ramblings you want, what you're playing or what you're doing, or why Defoe should be kept as the T-boy on the podcast, then you'll be entered into a prize draw to win that code. But we haven't had any yet. We've had no tweets. So either don't like
it's Garrett. Because it's PUBG.
They don't like Garrett or PUBG. Everybody already owns PUBG. So
yeah.
We're going to extend it another week now. So if you want to win a copy of PUBG on the Xbox One, just do said tweet to @OC_podcast and @TheRealDefoe, and we'll announce one a winner next Sunday.
Yeah, it sounds like the chances are high. Look, PUBG, if you need to get an early Christmas present for your grandmother, PUBG is the perfect present for granny. She'll love it.
Yes.
Yeah, she'll be able to kick some ass. She'll be able to get her slippers on and go and get those noobs. She'll be able to, at the holding zone before you get onto the plane, she'll be able to bend down. She'll be able to do all sorts of stuff. Perfect Christmas present for grannies. So get that tweet off. And you're, you know what? If there haven't been entries and we make a draw, one person right now, all one person had to do this week was send in that tweet to @OC Podcast and @TheRealDefoe, and they would have won it, but just didn't. So do it. Do it right now. Win.
Do it now.
Shatters, how many shatters do we have in there, Kim, and who's been around tonight?
Right now we have 1, 2, 3, 4. We had 6 shatters in today.
Go.
They were Decaf Smurf. Why would you want Decaf? RCGC, Banana Nenon, Commander Root, our very own Fraser Moo, and Baron Von Glauer. So happy to have you, folks.
Yeah, good to come in there. Thank you very much. All right, let's get the hell out of here. Let's get some shout outs done and get a close off done, and let's get our close off. Kim, would you like to shout out the shouters?
Didn't I just do that?
Just shout whoever you want to shout out. Shout out people.
All right. I want to shout out to you guys because, it's always fun when I come on here, and my camera actually worked. So a shout out to that for a change in Skype. Hey. Well, although it closed off once, but you know. Shout out to Mother Nature. We need some fucking rain or I'm going to slip in a crack and go all the way to China. I'm assuming that's how that works anyway.
Rude. What sort of women live around your way?
That's it for me. How about you there, Mark?
I want to shout out Kim's cracks. Shout out you guys. It's always great to fuck us with you guys. You can find me at Mark Alex on Twitter and Mark Alex on all gaming platforms. Phil, rescue us, please.
Obviously you guys, Kim's cracks again. and also my good wife Lisa's not too well at the moment, so but she insists I come on the show and keep you guys in line. And Robin,
I'm just thinking about what Jason was asking earlier on there about how things have changed, and it is a fashion thing, you know, because it's fashionable now to play the multiplayer games for us guys, and just like it is fashionable, you know, for guys and girls to shave their backs and their chests and stuff like that there and different parts. And in the 80s and the 70s, it was very, very different. And that brings into to Kim's crack once again. So anyway, look, thank you very much for listening, everybody. I've a little shout out to someone who is very important to us all somewhere. And yeah, we had a bit of a run-in with our good friend Dorian Parsnip. And Parsnip, we never meant to upset you, but if we did upset you, we're sorry about that. I don't really think we did, but look, just chill, man. Yeah, chill. Yeah, you know what? Everybody, as Rick said, you know, everybody has problems in Casablanca. So good luck to you, and you're always welcome here. Anyway, so everybody, thank you very, very much for listening. And I am now away on vacation, and I'll be away for 2 weeks. So lucky yous. And the show will be in good hands. Mr. DeLacy, I believe, has been to his last wife swapping party. I think they all their big gala balls, as it's called, was this weekend, and he'll be available now for the rest of the year. Oh. And
can we just mention, talking of tank tops, his new Xbox avatar?
Oh my god.
The new Xbox avatar system must be live, or it's live for preview people.
Oh,
and Greg's made one of himself with his tank top and his muscly arms doing the pose. Oh my god.
Yeah, as Baron Von Glor would say, winner, winner, grandma's chicken dinner. So, and on that happy note, have a great and wonderful, safe gaming week. We will see you all next week. And let's go. It's not me, but I'm going to Italy. Goodbye, everybody. See you. Bye now. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.